So, if you've got your order of service, we're going to read together God's Word. And as you know, we're going through a series on John's Gospel, and we've reached this area where Jesus talks about his person, and he says, "I am the bread of life." So reading at verse 35, "Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise them up at the last day. At this the Jews began to grumble about him, because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.' They said, 'Is not Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven?' 'Stop grumbling among yourselves,' Jesus answered. 'No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to him. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world.'" Amen. And may God bless his word to our souls as we think on it for a few moments. So we come to this wonderful statement of Jesus, "I am the bread of life." You will recall that possibly last week John Lynn covered the area of the feeding of the 5,000, and how Jesus took just 2 barley loaves and 5 small fishes, or whatever they were, and the lunchtime of a boy, blessed them, and they multiplied. And they fed 5,000. And afterwards, he asked his disciples to gather up the fragments, and they almost, 12 baskets full. It's unbelievable. It was a wonderful miracle of the power and presence of the Son of God. And it was a reflection of something of what happened in Moses' day. And there is this argument that between the people and Jesus regarding Moses. And we read a little bit about it. But here Jesus talks not so much about his power in miracles, but his person. And he draws us today to think of him and him alone. And I want to build a frame round that picture of the Lake of Galilee and Christ moving among the people, full of compassion, seen them hungry physically, like the church looks upon the world today in many countries and sees it physically hungry, and the people. Many places where there is starvation. And of course, the first in is to go out and feed their bodies. But the Holy Spirit behind it drives us regarding their souls. And Jesus had this dimension. And he says, I am the bread of life. Now, where did the word I am come from? Is it simply a statement about Jesus? Is it simply something that he called himself with very little reference? Well, I'm going to read from you to you the words from Exodus regarding Moses. Remember, Moses was pulled out of the water. The Nile was a place of death, and he was raised by God to be a great leader. But he was given the task of meeting Pharaoh with all the gods of Egypt behind him. And Moses trembled, but he said to God, how will they know when I meet Pharaoh? In whose name can I speak? And God said, but Moses said to God, who am I? And you see, it's am I, who am I? Do you see that? That I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt. And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that I have sent you when you have brought the people out of Egypt. You will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. I am the great I am. There is no one that can say that today. I am what I am. So that's the first thing we've got to bring into mind, that the I am comes out of the heart of the Egyptian experience, that God was with his people then, and Jesus really is a reflection of Moses, the Sermon on the Mount that he gives in Matthew. And sometimes we've got to understand something about the wonder of the Bible. Now, the Commonwealth Games has just taken part, and they've used the areas like Ibrox, London, Parkhead, and so on. Think about Pittodrie. Even think about this church. Wherever you sit, you only see one view. If you go to the family stand at Merkland Road at Pittodrie, you only see the Dons from one view, or Inverness College when I'm... The only time I go is when Inverness College is there, but shame to say it. But there it is. You only see one view. If you're in the Donald stand, you see another view. If you're in the North stand, you see another view. And sometimes when we look at the Gospels and look at one book, we only see one side. But if you think of Lindis Farm, you think of Kells, you think of the Book of Deer. These books depict the Gospels. And the Gospels really shows Jesus Christ in four views. There is three views that are called the Synoptic Gospels. Syn, S-Y-N, means together, syndicate. Synchronization, whatever. So synoptic means together with one view, optic, the eye. And the three that's together is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They all, Matthew and Luke, speak about the birth of Jesus. Mark speaks about the earthly life of Jesus. He doesn't touch the birth. But John
speaks about him that is from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He spoke, and it was created. He is the one that sustains all things. He is the eternal Word, the Logos, from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So John saw the divinity of Christ. He saw him that came from the beginning. Matthew saw him in a different light. He saw him as the King that had come, Messiah. Mark saw him as a servant. And Luke, of course, was a doctor. And he saw all the healing that Jesus did. So we think of a cube. I know a cube is six sides, but I'm talking about the vertical sides. And you see a cube, you can only look at one face at a time. So it's very important to see that. And in the Sermon on the Mount, of course, Jesus said, "Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." So in John, Jesus is fulfilling the great I Ams. I am the water of life. I am the bread of life, as we're looking at today. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see how powerful and strong he is. And he shows his glory here. If you look at your, you'll see there, then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life who comes down. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry." You see, there's a sufficiency in Christ to meet every need. The woman at the well was thirsty. He was the water of life. Here they're hungry, and he sees the hunger of their souls. "I am the bread of life." The man that was in blind, "I am the light of the world." And so on. And it's that magnitude and size of Jesus Christ that comes to us today. And of course, he turns from physical food to spiritual food. He says there's a much deeper hunger than what you've eaten. There's a much deeper hunger than what Moses supplied. And of course, they say, "What miracles can you do? Moses gave us bread in the wilderness." It wasn't Moses that gave bread. It was God. And look, I'm going to read a few verses from Deuteronomy now. "Because the children of Israel, the first generation, all perished because they turned away from God and rebelled at Kadesh Barnea. But the new generation that came up," this is Moses still speaking almost at 120 years of age, "listen, be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised to an oath to your forefathers. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years. Yes. And they had all died, but this is a new generation coming up. 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your forefathers had known, to teach you that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that cometh from the mouth of God." Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And of course, that live is eternal life. It's not just existence. It's eternal life. It's our souls he's after. And he goes deeper. Because he is the living Word, he talks about the Father. He says, "I've come from heaven." And you see there at verse 41, at this the Jews there began to grumble, and they grumbled against Moses in the wilderness. He had a difficult time with them. They said, oh, we're getting this manna. We're fed up with it. And God gave them quails. You see, at this the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, I came from heaven? You see, they're on the earth. They're talking about human relationships. Jesus is speaking about heavenly relationships. He came from heaven. And here's a picture of the Father. He came to do the Father's will. Yes, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he came in the councils of eternity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit in creation made us, and also in creation, before creation, determined that we would be redeemed through Christ. It's wonderful. It's beyond our understanding. But it comes home through these words. He says, for I have come down, verse 38, for I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will who sent me. You see, there's the earthly, I would say, there's three levels in the Bible. There's heaven. There's earth, where we are, too. And there's under the earth, where evil is, Satan's kingdom. And we're in, too. He came down to do the Father's will. And he speaks about it. So if we've talked about revelation, we talk about relationship here. He's got a relationship with the Father. And he says that all those that the Father is working in their hearts will come to him. It's not maybe, could be, or must be. But it's certain that Jesus knew the workings of the Father. We see the Trinity here. Because again, in Matthew, it speaks about Jesus receiving the Holy Spirit at his baptism. And Moses got the Holy Spirit, and Joshua had the Holy Spirit, but Jesus was poured out. The Holy Spirit was poured out without measure. He had the fullness of the Spirit. And therefore, he quoted God's word continually, because he knew the power of the Spirit, because the Spirit gives the word and breathes the word into our hearts. And so we see here the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit applying the Word to their hearts. He says, I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father, that I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. He's looking forward not only to his death and resurrection, but to his glory when he comes again, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the glory breaks eternal, bright and fair. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. It's that picture of resurrection to those, because you might look at a cemetery, and there'll be two levels of people there. There'll be the living dead and the dead dead, or the double dead, because they've never come to Jesus Christ at this time. Now is the day of salvation. And so he's giving up bread. He says, I am the bread. And of course he says at the very end, he says, this bread is my flesh, which I will give for the world. So there's a relationship there with the Father. And the Father works in our hearts to show us the Son and to give us a hunger. Now, is there a hunger in your heart? Physical bread is lovely. I mean to say, possibly it's Rosie that has put out the wayside pulpit. And do you see what it says? Complete satisfaction. And she's thinking she might have got it off a logo of a loaf of bread. Now, does everybody remember the turnover? Do you remember the turnover and the palm loaf and all the rest of it? Hovis, as good today as it's always been. Parmesan bread, lovely. All of them parmesan herb bread. Beautiful. And of course, it whets our appetites. It whets it. And if you miss a meal, okay, you might feel fine. But miss two meals, miss three meals. It's a different story. And the hunger's there. And the thirst is there. So Jesus, and it's the Father and the Holy Spirit that creates that hunger, that longing. You see, it says there that whoever listens to the Father and learns, that's a different story. Hearing God's word like you're doing today is one dimension. Learning is another dimension. Learning, meditating upon it, chewing it over, thinking it through, until the heart and soul yearns and longs for God's word. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. What's the condition of your heart today? Look at your heart. Is it hungry for him? Is it hungry to know him? I am the bread of life. Eat of me and you will live forever. What? Gosh me. Forrester Hill obliterated. Surgical amphitheaters never seen. There's nothing like that in heaven. It's eternal life. They walk by the tree of life. They take the fruit of the tree of life of Jesus Christ. They walk in power and victory. So there you are. So this bread is my flesh. He loves you. So I'll leave the last one to last, because we're going to sing that hymn now. We taste thee, O thou living bread, and long to feast upon thee still. We drink of thee, the fountainhead, and thirst our souls from thee to fill. Jesus, thou joy of loving hearts, thou fount of life, thou light of men. Yes, we're going to sing this. And of course, I left the last one to the end. Life tastes great. And Psalm, the last thought I would read to you is Psalm 34 and verse 8. Listen to this. Taste. You see, Jesus said, no one has seen the Father but by me. His eyes was looking on the Father. God wants our souls to see. God wants our souls to hear. These two senses. God wants our souls to taste, touch, smell the fragrance of his garments. Is he here? You sense him? You sense him speaking to you? You hungry? Right, we'll sing this hymn together.